smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Lulu is the first dog we've ever had that truly loves her toys. Farfel, whose face is pictured on the Good Dog Podcast logo, had absolutely no interest in small, brightly colored rubber objects. He'd sniff them and then walk away. All he wanted was food. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to Good Dog, where today's focus is on dog toys, products. In fact, some of the latest products to help keep your dog entertained, engaged, healthy, and ultimately the best possible partner for you. My guest is Janet Velinovsky, Training and Behavior Education Manager with Premier Pet Products. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So what does a Training and Behavior Education Manager of a pet product company do?
I have a wonderful role that involves a lot of different tasks, but some of what I love best is helping to research and develop new products for both dogs and cats. We look for ways to improve the bond between the human and the pet, to make the pet behave in a way that the owner is more happy with, and sometimes that means engaging them with toys or providing leashes and other tools that help get the behavior that the owner would like. And I am involved in lots of different aspects of getting those products started.
And you work with veterinarians and other trainers and behaviorists in order to do this?
We do. We have a collection of folks that we like to keep in touch with, and we ask their opinions. And we ask what they need in their business and their practices to help improve that relationship and to help train dogs and cats and get the behaviors that owners want. And so we take their input very seriously.
Janet, why is it that some dogs like toys and other dogs couldn't care less?
That, I guess, is just kind of personal preference, like you and I have our own personal preferences. Sometimes there is a relationship to certain breeds. There are dogs like Labs and other retrievers that seem to like object play a great deal. And then there's some dogs that are more interested in food or attention. So it's sort of just finding out what motivates your individual dog.
And what is the advantage of having it be a toy rather than, say, a pine cone or, you know, just something that a dog in its natural habitat would be playing with and chasing?
Very good question. Some dogs might be able to handle pine cones and some might not, as far as their digestive system, for one thing. So it's nice to have toys that you can keep clean, that you can have in your house, that will hold up to a particular dog's play style, etc. So we try to provide a wide variety of toys so that you can find what works for your little pooch or your kitty cat.
So when you say play style, is that because some dogs, for instance, want to just chew the heck out of something and they'll end up ingesting, you know, substances that aren't the best for them, and other dogs will, you know, won't chew as hard? Is that what you're referring to?
Absolutely. When it comes to dogs, very often you've got ones that want to completely destroy an item, and that seems to be the fun of the task for them. And some are looking to engage with it, but can leave it alone, you know, at a certain point and not destroy it or ingest it. And then some treat dispensing toys are really interesting because some dogs will enjoy getting the treats out, and that kind of gives their mind a puzzle to work on. But then once that's done, they're fine, and they leave the toy alone. And then you have other ones that, after the food is gone, they continue to try to engage with the toy and end up destroying it. So you have to find, you have to supervise and know your dog's play style a little bit to find the right toy for them to use.
So are there any qualities that you could say describe a good dog toy?
I'd like it to have... Gosh, that's an interesting question. You kind of stumped me. It depends on what kind of play
that's
I'm trying
job.
To engage.
It's called stump the guest.
I want it to have some sort of interest for the dog, something that pulls them back to it. I personally kind of like them to find it engaging on their own, but I really like it if they want to play with me because I think it's a good enrichment opportunity for the relationship. However, as we all know, there's some days you're just tired and you just want something that engages your dog. So there's three types of toys right there that you might want. It's really going to depend on what the owner is looking to accomplish with the toy is going to depend on what the dog's energy level is and their interests. So I think you have a pretty wide opportunity to fill a lot of different niches with different toys.
Now, toys aren't the only kinds of pet products that you sell, right?
That's correct. We offer the Gentle Leader, which is a head collar that helps owners control dogs as they're training them to walk nicely on leash, or teaching them not to bark at certain things, or not to jump up, for instance, on guests as they come into the home. We also have a no-pull walking harness called the Easy Walk Harness. And we offer other training tools and other things that veterinarians use in their clinics as well.
Now, you have something called a Gentle Spray Anti-Bark Citronella Collar. What's that?
That actually is a microphone-activated, bark-activated unit that fits on the dog's collar. And it, you fill it with a harmless citronella spray. It has a lemony scent, but it doesn't have any other dangerous chemicals in it, so that it can spray when the dog barks. And what that does is interrupt the dog for a moment and gives you an opportunity to redirect them to do something else. So it tells them, gosh, when you bark, that's going to happen to you. And then you've got the opportunity to say, come on, let's go play with the toy or do something else.
It's not like it actually stops them from barking. It just stops them.
Over time, if the dog finds it unpleasant to have that happen to them, then it will inhibit their barking, absolutely.
Great. Now, today we're going to be giving away something called Manners Minder Reward System. Can you tell me about that? And I have one right here. Lulu has never seen this before, and we're going to actually attempt to demonstrate it and as you explain it.
Well, for those that can't see it right in front of them, it's a little unit that's, I would say, a little bit smaller than a toaster oven. It has a reservoir that you can put treats or kibble in, which you're going to use to reward the dog. It comes with a remote remote control dispenser, so that you can, from even across the room, hit a button and have a treat dispensed for your dog. It allows you to set several different variables on the machine so that you can use it in a lot of different ways. Three of the favorite ways to use this tool are for dogs who jump up and greet guests in a way that you don't want them to, so you can use it to teach them to keep all 4 feet on the floor. For dogs that beg at the table and you would like them to go and lay down on a mat and stay in a particular place, or for dogs that are just kind of unruly when you're on the phone or when somebody comes to the front door, you can teach the dog to go to a mat or a certain place and reward them with this tool so that you get quieter, more predictable behavior.
All right, so I've loaded up the Manners Minder with some little treat biscuit, you know, broken up dog biscuits, and we've got the batteries in it now, and I've got the remote control in my hand, and I've got Lulu here. So what should we do?
If you have a dog that's a little bit fearful or might be a little bit surprised by a machine making a noise, you can start by just putting a treat in the little reservoir where the treats come out. And she can eat one or two of those just so she gets accustomed to picking up the treat out of that spot.
Okay.
When you've passed that stage, you can actually use the dispense button on the remote to release a treat. And I just did it on mine here, and you may have heard a beep.
I did hear a beep.
And it turns the mechanism and allows one treat to come out into the reservoir. But the reason the beep is involved is based on clicker training. And if you're familiar at all with clicker training, the concept is to mark a behavior that the dog is performing that you like. It's kind of like taking a snapshot and indicating to the dog, yeah, that was what I liked right there.
Okay, so right now she's lying on her back, on her side on the floor, and I kind of like that. She's not bothering me.
If you like that, that's great. And what we're going to do is pair that several times so that she understands that sound predicts that treat's going to fall into the reservoir.
Okay.
You want to do that a couple times?
Okay, Lulu. So we're pointing to it now, and she went, oh, look. And she's going over, and she's eating her treat. This is the sound of her eating her treat.
So I want to mention that this machine comes with both a wonderful stand-up cardboard set of instructions that are easy to read while you're working and a training DVD. This was developed by veterinary behaviorist Dr. Sophia Yin, and she put a lot of research into both how to train the dogs with this and how to train the people to use it correctly. And as we know, that's half the battle.
Okay, I'm going to dispense another one now.
Great.
Okay, she got it.
Good. Now, one of the next things that we can do, since we know that she pretty much likes the process and she's okay with working on getting the treat out of that particular unit, is that we can start to use that target stick that came with the package.
Well, the target stick looks like a tiny punching bag. So it's got a red sort of round thing, and then there's a stick, and the stick is in a stand.
The red part looks kind of like a clown nose to me.
Exactly.
And you can extend it up to, well, I guess that's about 3 feet. Or since Lulu's a small girl, we can keep it low for her. It comes with a base that you can put it in so that if you want the dog to move over to the target, you can do that without having to hold it. But for right now, we're going to start with it in your hand.
Okay.
And what I'd like you to do is hold it near her. If she's inquisitive, she's likely to sniff it.
She's sniffing it right now.
Get near it. And then click the button, the dispense button.
She jumped up and ate it.
Great. As she's sniffing it, we want to hit the dispense button so that it marks that behavior, her nose touching the target, and she gets rewarded for it.
Okay, so once again, I show her, she ate that one, so now I show her the target and have her sniff it again?
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as she sniffs it, I hit the buzzer?
At the exact same moment if possible, you want to hit the button so that she starts to understand that she's getting rewarded for that nose touch on the target.
Come here, Lou. Well, she has no interest in sniffing it now. Do I have to bring
it
to her?
She's
just licking the place where the treats come out. And actually, you know what? She's actually, this is interesting. What she's done now is she's sitting and sniffing the remote control.
Ah, so she's smart enough to know that that's involved in the process.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you have control of that so she doesn't learn to go dispense things for herself,
okay,
which would be darn cute, but not what we're after right now.
All right, so I just did it. She sniffed the red thing, and I hit the remote control, and now she's eating again.
Wonderful. And you would continue with that process if you've got a dog that's a little bit timid or just not interested in the red end of the target stick. You can enhance it with just a little bit of peanut butter or something that just smells good, and most dogs are going to go over and sniff it. And after you've done this about 15 or 20 times, your dog will start to understand, when I touch this, it makes that treat happen.
Oh, okay. Short of boring everybody by making them sit through Lulu's training process, assume that we did that for a while. Now, how do I use this target stick to actually encourage the behaviors that I want or discourage her from engaging in the behaviors I don't want her to engage in?
Very good question. One of the things that you want to do with the target stick is to encourage her to perform a behavior in order to make that treat happen. You want her to kind of get that concept, and you want to keep her from looking at the remote as she did, or looking at the unit itself. I have an 80-pound golden retriever, and when we first started playing with this, he thought maybe he could just go directly to the unit and get the treats out himself.
She is just staring at the remote control. That's very funny.
In order to get him focused back on working with me and doing what I needed to, that's why we went to the target next. So it keeps him from going over and he tried to actually paw the unit, which didn't work because it has a nicely rounded top on it and the dog can't get it open easily, and it's pretty sturdy. But just to avoid having the dog waste time with a behavior you don't want, you encourage them to do that target and then go over and get their treat.
Janet, before we let you go today, I know you volunteer with an organization called Hope Animal Assisted Crisis Response, which is a national organization dedicated to providing emotional comfort and support to individuals who've been affected by some sort of crisis or disaster. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd love to. Hope is a wonderful organization of dedicated people who have done therapy work with their own dogs in some way, whether in hospitals or nursing homes or maybe at school events, and they are looking for opportunities to further what they do and to really help people who are in need. And one of the toughest times is when someone has lost their home, there's been a fire, maybe there's been a hurricane. We've been called out to schools where there have been shootings. And people just often are stunned by what has happened, and they need a non-judgmental, easy-to-talk-to situation, sometimes to get in touch with their feelings, just to be in the moment, maybe to forget what they've been through and just have a moment to relax. And the dogs are just amazing at helping people do that.
So you literally, you and your dog will fly someplace to be there with people in a crisis?
Some people do fly. Some people drive. When we went down to Louisiana after Katrina, we actually had, I think, four of us in a car with the dogs in a van, and we drove the 12 hours or something down there so that we could be able to also navigate once we were there as inexpensively as possible, because we do all of this on our own volunteer time and pretty much with our own funds.
That's quite impressive. So the criteria for a dog being suitable for the HOPE organization would probably be similar to that of a therapy dog?
It is. I like to say it's kind of like a PhD for therapy dogs, because they have to be able to encounter a lot of different situations, higher stress levels with people often because of the magnitude of the emotions that the people are dealing with in these situations. The dogs have to be able to withstand more crying, more really tight hugging, more physical challenges, probably getting in and out of places that may not have regular roads, regular accommodations for people. So you really have to have a dog that is pretty much what we call bomb-proof, which is pretty hard to phase, a dog that can step up to almost in any situation without showing signs of stress themselves and still able to help the people that we're visiting.
If people want to learn more about the HOPE Animal Assisted Crisis Response, can you give us the web address?
Yes, they could go to www.hopeaacr.org.
That's great, and we will have that on the Good Dog blog as well, so if people missed that. And as well, we will post the web address for Premier Pet Products, which has a number of different products that we didn't talk about today, although we did talk about many. Janet, thanks so much for being here today. Janet Velinovsky, the Training and Behavior Education Manager for Premier Pet Products.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
I'm Joanne Green, inviting you to browse through all of the options for entertainment and information at smarterpodcasts.com.